You're listening to Nighttime Daydreams with DJ Toan K on Spirit Plants Radio, broadcasting around the world at spiritplantsradio.com. Turn on and then tune in and visit us on the web at spiritplantsradio.com for schedules, playlists, archives, and more, and more, and more, and more, and more, and more. In this hour, we'll hear poems by me, poems by a British nature poet, Sir Realize, music by Sangho Namchalak, whose vocal performances are inspired by those of the shamans of her native Tuva, and music by Ashray, a psychedelic rock quartet out of Detroit, Michigan. And finally, we'll hear a few other surprises.
And then went down to the ship.
This is Surrealize, reading excerpts from an ongoing analogy. And the trees are hair, my thoughts a harebrained scheme. The hair running in the wind, carrying information. The rustle of the wind, the sound of cogitation, containing everything. The trees in deliberation, plotting balance more than human. The wind, the sound of cogitation. Carrier of far-off information. Crumbling buildings and Babylon's horns blaring. New births in the world of birds. The sudden death of some furry forest creature. The air, an emanating earth, merging and emerging, the trees deliberating, noting noble deeds, gratitude, their roots, a mind in the earth too. Wind in our hair, white noise, opening and deepening, a harebrained scheme. And the soft, silvery silt, bits of grit exfoliating me as I rub it into my legs, arms, chest. Take a cool blob over my third eye and smooth over, face turned bliss towards the sun, dancing geometric yogas of pressure and release as I massage my face. And the soft, silvery silt is melding me to the warm rocks. My mind, a quiet and ancient sensation. One big stone chakra blossoming in Dugmo afternoon, like the cactus flower. A body with environmental mind mixing inside. And the roots of the beach, sanded by the stream, are drowned figures turned to stone, writhing frozen rhythms, granular time organs. And someone is watching me, a lady, invisible, visible in the light at the corner of this muddy flat, in the roots and the trunk and the rocks, perched still, stooped, observing, framed by the shade of this muddy flat between rocks at the base of the beach. I sift the sand for rocks, both hands at once, and place them in the emanating furrows, where I felt the earth around my feet and created a brown sun with glittering eyes of stone and round tilted rock paddles for ears and a milky yellow quartz mountain for a third eye and a thick elephant's trunk in three rectangular pieces and the joined eyes and fissures of the double helix, hands interwoven in dance. And now I have to kneel before it to complete the facial mandala, framed by a wide zigzag of electric fire, a headdress of phoenix feathers. And I'm off my knees, jumping high to imprint the soles of my feet, the stamp of totality, a solstice broadcast. And up here on this grassy ledge, already laid in, an unmade bed, still warm, where every bug is, as yet, unknowable to science. A billion interbreeds of froghopper, born from the cuckoo spit, flicked throughout their bushy womb like globs of sperm. This one, a little rhinoceros, composed of fragments of broken leaf. That one, a pregnant vacuum, a fat-bellied dance of rainbow translucence between filigree bands of black and white. Another, a yellow astronaut, dressed sleek and kinky in the armor of space. And the segmented hexagonal sequence with six legs, flat, black, with a pink stripe running up each side of its mathematical back, suddenly aware of my eyes, contracting under the pressure of my gaze and tucking his head right back under his hexagonal armor, like a snake of six-sided tortoises plugged into one another. Bugs, unknowable to science alone, so why would I want to give one my name? And the uncertain edge of ego inflation, like a viral temptation, told to fuck off, loud like wind in my silence, and bouncing round my skull against the back of my bared teeth. Gone. Its fear-stricken scent hanging in my nostrils like a lesson. And following the song of the breath of this place, breathing in me, I am in tune with the effortless orchestra of nature. And the river is the roar of blood in my ears, and the wind in the trees is a river of air, and the combined white noise of the rainbow of life is opening up and breathing, vibrating me as I open my chest in sonic melding. The effortless orchestra of the inherent synesthesia of nature, each element analogous to the other. The only anomaly, our minds. Porthole to the source and capacity to deviate from alignment with the source in one. And the knowing feeling, the feeling of knowing, that every religious impulse is sourced in our reactions to nature, or coming direct through our umbilical beings, nectar from our earthen womb. And when I'm clambering in strong currents over slippy rocks, caught in uncoordination, knee-deep in overwhelming sensation, I'm asking nature to be kind, my actions emanating thought radio out to the sensitive antennas of this place. The trees, more than human, deliberating. It's a deviation of mind to ask this of some off-planet god. Dishonest to betray the urge to believe my question matters. There's a gulf between prayer and fully embedded participation, a dangerous abyss beyond our inborn defenses. Yet knowing it is there is enough. a knowing that is taught by the more than human, conveyed quietly to the taste buds through the shared soul of sensation. Bittersweet. And being able to drink where you swim is a pleasure not solely the preserve of fish. And my brush is giving the last of the green water to the rock in a cursive gesture of thanks, a thanker, drunk up before it's complete by a hot and hungry rock. And we are heading on, hedonism, up out of this high valley, along a path transfigured by transfigured sight. And the slowed time of summer solstice, everything fluffy and warm in the last of the sun, surfaces beckoning as distance shrinks in increased resolution and pastel haze. Just another way the earth is carpeted. And the urge to perform impossible leaps is a weary dream of giggles. And by our eyes we are frozen, slowly waking to the swaying trees, distant like a meadow, tempting us to lie down. And I remember you saying, these rocks are people just like us, as you laid in the recent shade with the perfect warmth of sun's memory and contemplated never getting up again. And now we are home and the stars are honeycombing along infinite lines of symmetry, as yet undisturbed by the late sun mirror of the moon. And we are quiet, while consciousness merged manipulates the circuit trees of seeing in the purple dark. And shadow people sometimes flicker, passing when we are still in the vicinity of movement, a rooted stimulation. And the air whispers to the music, vibrating it, syllables of hushed magic floating in space, like breath without body, reverberating in earth space, reverbing in exhaled earth. And we are hugging a good day to sleep.
Thank you.
Boston to Vienna, April 3rd, 2006. I went to sleep last night at 9, woke up just now at 3 with a gasp. The distance between the jungle and Boston is so huge, but I made the trip in a single breath. I lay in bed, not moving. In my dream, I was near the Aguarico River. Someone had been trying to kill someone else with witchcraft. This led me to think about my cousin, Mimi, in Durham, North Carolina, who's so sick with cancer, and then about my grandmother in Hamden, Connecticut, who's so old and frail. Yesterday, a sunny spring Sunday, I was parked in the north parking lot of the University of Massachusetts, Boston. Gusts of wind off the harbor were hitting the car. I was talking with my grandmother on the cell phone about leaving for Vienna. She said again for the umpteenth time, "I just want you to be happy." On the drive home, I started crying behind my sunglasses when someone sang on the radio, "I know I'm going away." I'm in Boston, moving to Vienna in 2 months. I also never really left the jungle or the shamans and their sorcery and their politics. I live in several places at once, sometimes at peace, sometimes in pieces. My path has led through 3 continents and a number of different languages. But as Chomsky said, there is only one language. I hope I learn to speak it before I become language, vanishing into my emails, as Borges vanished into his stories. For now, I'll just sit here in a corner of my study, scribbling something like poetry, only more crude, while in another room of the universe, my grandmother prays for me over her Sabbath candles. You can come cry on my shoulder if you're in the mood to. We know we're all going away. This poem contains 1 blue skylark, 2 tiger cats, the clicking tock on the wall, Ka sleeping in the bedroom, me sitting here in the study at 3:20 a.m. with my notebook on my knees. This poem contains memories boiled down, resinous. In Vienna, we'll live near the Volksoper and the VUK, an anarcho-socialist arts complex where my Buto dance group used to work up a sweat, transforming ourselves into nobles and hobgoblins. But now I'm closer to the African-American street people couple I met in Roxbury 2 weeks ago. I'm wondering about the white crud under their friendly eyes. Didn't they wash their faces in the morning? One day I gave them $10, and the next week I happened to be back in the same place, waiting for a gallery to open, and they were there too, and I asked them if I could sit down on their cracked plastic milk crate, and they said, sure, and I did. And I listened to them and their friends for about 10 minutes before my ears attuned to their way of speaking. And then I was telling them about going to Vienna, and how the Austrians love ski jumping. And as I was explaining opera to Clarence, Betty said, "What are you two talking about over there?" And Clarence said, "Opera, you're not interested in it." But Betty said, "That's what you don't know about me. I like opera, I just don't have no money to go see it." The subtext of their presence there on the sidewalk that day was that they were trying to smuggle some crack to a prisoner who was part of a work crew, cleaning up a vacant lot nearby. And I said, "How do people smuggle drugs into prisons?" And Clarence said, "Oh, you can put it in your nose, in your ear, in your ass. You can even swallow it and shit it out later. Light it up in the cell." I want to swallow some things while I'm here in Boston, and smuggle them with me on the plane to Vienna, including hip-hop music, the master's degree I'm about to earn, the sunlight on Boston Harbor, the political struggle against Bush, the St. Patrick's Day parade, which I avoided but don't want to forget, and the Irish pub on the corner where I feel uncomfortable because the people look like me 10 or 15 years ago. It's disgusting to say this, but the metaphor is apt. You swallow experiences, and later You shut them out as memories and light them up in your cell. Space and time are so huge, but you cross them in the span of a single breath, alone, smoking memory, like crack. The breath is part of the path. Ah, the path. The path is logical. It's pathological. It's a logistical old path between there and here. It's a well-trod trail for tiger, cat, or giant snail, and I never left it, and soon it's taking me away. Yesterday, when I got home from the university, and the sky was still light, and I was restless and pacing around the living room because I knew I was going away, I called my mom and took the cell phone out to Puddingstone Park on the hill above the Stop and Shop supermarket. And I felt like I was getting high on the earth, and I looked at the intelligent sunset that was looking back at me, and I looked at the geometrical crystals of the Boston skyline gleaming, cold, yellow-silver, snuggling back against the slate-blue sky, and I looked at the nice row houses with individuals and families in them, and I felt the grass compressed under my shoes. I didn't see it, but the path curled up like a snake behind me. And I said to my mom, I'm going to smoke a Cuban cigar that Mike Milne gave me last time I was in town. And my mom said, you ought to leave it in your pocket. And I said, but it's a Cuban cigar. And she said, but it's still carcinogenic. And I said, but mouth cancers caused by Cuban cigars are so much richer and full of flavor than those caused by ordinary cigars. And I listened to my mom's nice warm voice tell me about her editing job and how she can walk on her new knee pretty well now, and Sam Walker's new book on baseball, and Ted Chamberlain's new book on horses, and Janie might come to Maine in the summer, and Sarah Manda got married 2 months before the wedding was planned. She and he and the best man and the bridesmaid just went down to some justice of the peace and did it, but they'll have another wedding in May anyway. And my cousin Mimi sounded pretty bad on the phone last week. She uses a walker to get around now. I should call her. She'd like it. Talk to her across a great distance, one breath at a time. And you try to breathe slowly and deeply when you know you're going away.
Ooh. dünyanın kanada artıyordu neden
Thank you. nabzların ki çoğalaşı sürün yoronsti. Kirsiz şiran sarıp kuranilsin asırran eşti. Şiran sarıp Turan sen amatian turan turan sen tum 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 tum
düzey kalır. Hakkı yıkan havamış daha şahalı. Sırtı canan halk var. Değile karışır bas. Gelir ye sen hongda. Hapın gühün. Menzeye tutup be.
That was Red Orange by Sanko Namchilak from her 2001 album Aura. Before that, we heard Boston to Vienna by Nathan D. Horowitz, Abyss by Ashray, and Surrealize with excerpts from an ongoing analogy. You're listening to Nighttime Daydreams with DJ Toan K on Spirit Plants Radio, broadcasting around the world at spiritplantsradio.com. Turn on, tune in, and visit us on the web at spiritplantsradio.com for schedules, playlists, archives, and more, and more, and more, and more, and more. Now, we're going to travel back in time a few decades and listen to Ezra Pound reciting his Canto 1, in which he takes on persona of Odysseus, or Ulysses, searching for information from the dead.
And then went down to the ship, set keeled breakers, forth on the godly sea, and we set up mast and sail on that swart ship, bore sheep aboard her, and our bodies also heavy with weeping. And winds from sternward bore us out onward with bellying canvas. Circe's this craft, the trim-coifed goddess. Then sat we amidships, wind jamming the tiller, Thus with stretched sail we went over sea till day's end. Sun to his slumber, shadows o'er all the ocean. Came we then to the bounds of deepest water, covered with close-webbed mist, unpierced ever with glitter of sun rays, nor with stars stretched, nor looking back from heaven. Swartest night stretched over wretched men there, the ocean flowing backward. Came we then to the place aforesaid by Circe. Here did they rites, Perimedes and Eurylochus. And drawing sword from my hip, I dug the L-square pitkin, poured we libations unto each the dead, first mead and then sweet wine, water mixed with white flour. Then prayed I many a prayer to the sickly death's heads, as set in Ithaca, sterile bulls of the best for sacrifice, heaping the pyre with goods, a sheep to Tiresias only, black and a bell sheep. Dark blood flowed in the foss, souls out of Erebus, cadaverous dead, brides of youths, and of the old who had borne much. Souls stained with recent tears, girls tender, many men upmauled with bronze lance heads, battle spoil bearing yet dreary arms. These many crowded about me with shouting, pallor upon me, cried to my men for more beasts, slaughtered the herds, sheep slain of bronze, poured ointment, cried to the gods, to Pluto the strong, and praised to Proserpine. Unsheathed the narrow sword, I set to keep off the impetuous, impotent dead till I should hear Tiresias. But first Elpenor came, our friend Elpenor, unburied, cast on the wide earth, limbs that we left in the house of Circe, unwept, unwrapped, in sepulchre since toils urged other. Pitiful spirit, and I cried in hurried speech, Elpenor, how art thou come to this dark coast? Cam'st thou afoot outstripping seamen? And he in heavy speech, ill fate and abundant wine, I slept in Circe's ingle. Going down the long ladder unguarded, I fell against the buttress, shattered the nape nerve, soul sought of Arnus. But thou, O king, I bid remember me unwept, unburied. Heap up mine arms, be tombed by seaboard, and inscribed, a man of no fortune, and with a name to come. And set my oar up that I swung mid fellows. And Anticlea came, whom I beat off, and then Tiresias Theban, holding his golden wand, knew me and spoke first. A second time, why, man of ill star, facing the sunless dead in this joyless region, stand from the foss, leave me my bloody bever, forsooth, say. And I stepped back, and he, strong with the blood, said then, Odysseus, shalt return through spiteful Neptune over dark sea, lose all companions. And then Anticlea came, lie quiet, Devas. I mean that is Andreas Devas in Ophicina Oecli, 1538, out of Homer. And he sailed by Sirens, and thence outward and away, and unto Circe. Venerandum, in the Cretan's phrase, with the golden crown Aphrodite, Cypri monumenta sortita est, mirthful Orichalce, with golden girdles and breastbands, thou with dark eyelids, bearing the golden bow of Argeseda, so that...
что все есть ничто, а ничто все, что конец означает.
The Self and the Other, a Dream from 1990. My friend Lenny and I are actors rehearsing a surrealistic drama. We realize that it says it all. It presents exactly what I've been trying to say in my writing. As soon as we realize that, we say, great, and know implicitly that I will use what we are doing as the subject of my first published short story. So here it is. Lenny and I are standing on a street corner in the neighborhood where I grew up, and a swarm of lit joints is drifting through the air, trailing smoke. We can catch them, hit them, and release them to migrate to other people elsewhere. No one knows where they came from. No one knows where they're going. Smoking them focuses us on the philosophical theme of the drama, that there are only two things in the universe, oneself and the object that one is regarding, which melts and reforms each time one's attention shifts. Lenny and I stand face to face, smoking and releasing floating joints, and discussing this topic, each of us shape-shifting for the other, becoming oak tree, cathedral, women's underwear, pet goat, rocket ship, jack-o'-lantern, parakeet, book.
Thank you.
Use your imagination. Possible to escape these blocky bus station vibes by dancing in the ceiling struts with projected bodied mind, swinging like some monkey harlequin, black and white, a hidden rainbow in the blue iron rafters. Just like old Bugger Bugger Man back in boring childhood church. Feeling so aware, so perceptive, as to be made emotionally sensitive by the surreal intensity of everyday life. Watching a parade of faces waiting, wondering if it's possible to spot a wizard in a crowd. A witch zoned out on her headphones, deep attention in the void between thoughts. A restless wanderer, focus flitting. A proud man with no one watching him. And did she catch your gaze? The troubled-looking lady, furrowed in? And now I think I see why it only seems to be me taking time in this pause to truly watch the others around me. There is the possibility of catching some mood or being caught by some too muchness in the mirror of the everyday humanity I am around me. Swinging in the rafters now, as innocent and oblivious as a child.
That was Use Your Imagination by Surreal Eyes. Before that, we heard The Angler by Ashray, The Self and the Other, A Dream from 1990 by Nathan D. Horowitz, and an untitled song by Sanko Namchalak. You're listening to Nighttime Daydreams with DJ Toan K on Spirit Plants Radio, broadcasting around the world at spiritplantsradio.com. Turn on, tune in, and visit us on the web at spiritplantsradio.com for schedules, playlists, archives, and more, and more, and more, and more, and more.